Scripture reading for today is taken from Genesis, the third chapter, verses 3-6. That's Genesis, the third chapter, verses 3-6. The Bible reads, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave her husband with her, and he ate."
Good morning. It is great to see you this morning. We say that every week, but it is always a joy to be together, to offer up praises to God, sing praises to Him, fellowship one with another. Isn't it great? That's why we say it every week. It's so good to see you here. It's great to be together. What a blessing is ours to worship the God of heaven. If you have been with us for any amount of time, you know that we have been doing some challenges this year. We're in the second month, so we're in our second challenge. Our first one was to read the New Testament in a month. We spent January reading the New Testament. Several, I think, over 100 people did that, took the challenge and read through the New Testament and was blessed as a result. We know many more tried and started, and they succeeded wherever they ended. Wherever you ended, you succeeded to that point, and we're thankful for that. So please don't see it as an all or nothing proposition. If you started and read the New Testament, read through any amount of it, then God bless you. Hope you benefited from the reading. This month's challenge has been challenging. I don't know which one has been more challenging. Has it been more challenging to read the New Testament or to examine yourself? We talked about examining your time. We said chronicle and check and consider, and your health and your money. Boy, that just gets right personal, doesn't it? My health, my money, my time, that's my stuff. Well, no, that's God's stuff. Amen. That's God's stuff. And God wants you to be about His business with those things. And so we've talked about that. We've had some great comments as well. Out in the back, it's generated much conversation. And people have come to me with a variety of reactions. Most of them positive. Many of them funny. And we've laughed in the back as a result of it. But this kind of comment has been expressed at least once or twice. Yeah, you got me today. You got me. I really need to work on that. I really have got to be more concerned with. You pointed out some stuff there. I hadn't thought about that. That's real good. I'm going to work on that. And that's been kind of the sentiment. We don't want to simply point out problems. That's not what we want to do. Some people think that's what we just specialize in beating people up and pointing out problems. I promise you, there have been very few days, I can't remember a single one, in fact, where I woke up saying, today is the day I get to point out people's problems. That's what I live for. That's what I want to do. I just can't wait to get them. I never had one of those days. The Word of God is just powerful. It's sharp. It's quick. And it pierces. And so it is the force of the Word of God that gets us to realize, I need to change that. I need to fix that. That's God and the power of His Word. The point, though, of all of that is this. There are some people in the congregation who can help you if you're struggling in some of these areas. And if you are, these people have been approached and they have been willing to offer up some help in some of these areas. I told them that I was going to name them. It wouldn't do you a whole lot of good if I didn't, though, would it? Here you are struggling with something. I tell you there's somebody to help, but I'm not going to tell you who the person is. That just doesn't seem beneficial. These people are not haughty. They didn't come and say, you know what? I've mastered this so well. I got some stuff. They didn't do that. In fact, they're very humble. And they wanted me to assure you that they were not walking around beating their chest saying how great they are, how they've mastered their lives, and how they can really bless you and help you. That's not what they are. They're servant kind of hearted people. And when approached, like Moses, they actually began to back up just a little bit, but they were pulled forward, and they're willing to help in these areas. And so I'm going to give you their names, and you seek them out if you are struggling in some of these areas, and they can help you. They said they'd be more than willing to give you what they have by way of their knowledge. It's worked for them. And so if you're struggling with money, I talked to Vincent Fitch, and Vincent Fitch says he would help. He would help anybody who wanted to talk and discuss money and budgetary items. He said he'd be willing to do that. He's taught classes in the past. They've been very helpful. And so if you are, he would be the person to see for that. Now, I'm saying these names, and there are other people that could have been approached. I know that to be true. And so it's certainly no slight to anybody else. There are others who could just as well talk about money. Vincent would be the first to admit that. But he stood out, and he's willing to help. And so if you are, privately see Vincent about that. With regards to your health, if you're struggling with that and you want some information, see Valerie Jones about that. And again, same thing applies. There could have been other people to help with that, and I'm sure there are others very capable. Now, why am I going through all this? Because we want to actually help. And so if there are some struggles, see somebody who has mastered or has shown some great abilities in these areas, and seek them out and get some help for it. Finally, I talked to Ryan about time, and he said he would be willing to help. Again, anybody, other people could have been helped, and these are people who I'm trying to spare them. They're humble people. They didn't want to be out there, but we need help, and if you do, see these people. Brings us to the topic that's on our screen this morning, and that's influence. It is our last challenge. And ultimately, I suppose that all three of the other challenges kind of dovetail into this one. In the end, they are about influence. Influence is not a dirty word. It's not. Obviously, anything can be corrupted. Generally, when you hear me talk about influence, I'm talking about the world trying to influence us. And you read a passage like Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is on the card, which is at the information center, and that's the passage on there. And it'll be referenced, if not this morning, it'll be referenced tonight in one of these sermons because of the power of what it says about influence. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, logical service. And be not conformed to this world. The scripture is very clear. The world is trying to influence you. Don't let it. That's what it says. But instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Anything can be corrupted. You could move from influence to manipulation. You could move from there to some other thing, and you could do some other stuff with influence, but that's not really what we're trying to talk about. Trying to talk about the power of influence in our lives, and therefore through us to influence the world to God. As we do that, sermon won't be complete until tonight, keeping with our present action in the first three. So you'll have to come back for the rest of the story. With regards to influence, I enjoy looking up words to find out what they mean, because I don't always know. And what words mean are very helpful to understand what it is we're talking about. Here are the definitions of influence: the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Then it is the effect itself. With this example, the influence of television violence. That's actually in the dictionary's definition. And in light of the events of our current time, you can see why that actually makes it as an example. Does television violence have an influence on the behavior and thoughts of those who consume it? The second definition is the power to shape policy or ensure favorable treatment from someone, especially through status, contacts, or wealth. Why in the world are there things called lobbyists? Oh, I don't know. Maybe number two. Maybe the power to shape policy or to ensure favorable treatment for someone. We do it all the time. Every time a person who is rich gets into trouble and then gets out, we say, Well, if that had happened to somebody else, or they only got that kind of, what are we saying? Their power, their wealth, their contact status, influence. It had an effect on the outcome of the results. The Institute has considerable influence with teachers. Well, you sit down and today you talk to teachers, and teachers are bombarded from above and beneath, struggling with the children in the classroom and struggling with the administration and the desires, struggling with the parents and who's going to influence, who's going to shape the, who's going to have a considerable influence with, what are we talking about? Having an effect, having a development, a behavior, something that impacts it. A person or thing with the capacity or power to have an effect on someone or something. A person or thing with the capacity or power. Have you thought about your influence lately? You know, in this world of me, in this world of my, one of the things that we are very prone to in our society is, don't tell me about what my actions or my words or my deeds are doing to anybody. It's none of their business. You know what? We just feel like that. Like we don't have the capacity or the power to have an effect on someone or something. Just by way of introduction, some thoughts with regards to influence. Two critical parts with regards to influence. They are our words and deeds. Those are the things that shape influence. Those are where we get our effects. We listen and we learn from what people say. In fact, people know very well that words have power to influence. And then we watch and learn from what people do. You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Listen to what God says in light of those two things. I should say this, and again, I'll get into some of the sermon tonight where we'll have maybe a little more application. But it is clear from the Bible that God understood the power of influence. He understood the power of words, that people have that ability to influence others. Listen to some of this text, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Begin reading with me at verse number 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer or of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Here is a person that went to bed at night, had a dream. They woke up, and in that dream somewhere, they came up with the notion that when they get up in the morning, they should go tell other people, let's go worship other gods. Let's go serve other gods. That's what the verse 2 says. Verse number 3, God says this, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreams of that, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, and with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse number 4 says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Is that in your Bible? What's God's reaction to the prophet or the dreamer who woke up and said, let's go serve other gods? You put him to death. Now, why would God take such a strong position? Some people would say an unreasonable position. Keep reading. Because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you. Thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of you. He goes on to the rest of that chapter and says, if your own brother does this, then put him to death. And it continues and continues and continues. You shall not consent. What's God concerned about? That somebody's words could move other people to leave him? Yes. And you'll put that out of Israel. You will not allow that to happen in Israel. God understands very well the power of influence. In Genesis chapter 3, the passage that we had read, Eve influenced Adam. In fact, most people either just don't get down to verse number 17 or they don't read it very carefully. For when God comes back to Adam the second time, that is, he talks to Adam first, then he talks to Eve, then he talks to the serpent, and then he returns to Adam. And when he gets back to Adam in verse number 17, he says this, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree which I command." What are you saying, God? You allowed her words to influence you. You listened to her. You didn't listen to me. Influence Adam. What did he do? He ate of the tree. This is the reason parents very well understand the power of words and deeds. I don't know which parent said it first, but some parent in the long ago said, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, that was probably in response to some child coming home telling the parent, can I, with this thought, everybody else is doing it. And some sage parent said, if everybody else jumping on a bridge, you going to jump too? It took children a while, a few generations, to come up with, well, yeah, it depends on the depth of the water. First time, I promise you, that was not the sentence. First time, they stumped them with that one, and they went away. But give children time, they'll come up with something. Parents say of their children, they watch them do something, and they ask, where did they learn that? I've never seen her do that. How does she know to do that? Somebody's words, somebody's deeds, influence. Family, probably our greatest influence. I know that God understood influence, and I would further argue God intended influence, expressly because God gave us a family. If God didn't want Adam to be influenced by others, what would he have done? Well, the surest way to assure that is to leave Adam alone. The moment another human being was introduced into the equation, influence was a foregone conclusion. Parents are probably our greatest influence, and in fact, I think it could be argued God intends for it to be so. When Moses called Israel, he said these words, "Which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," to the parents. And then he says, "After you put them in your heart, teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when you sit in the house, and when thou walkest out of the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and upon be as frontlets between thine eyes. And then thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy." If you lived in such a house, do you think you'd be influenced? If when you woke up in the morning, your parents talked to you about the word of God they put in their heart, and then that's what they talked to you about in the morning around the breakfast bowl. And then as y'all walked to school, and as you walked on the way, they talked more about God and his word. Maybe if you're walking outside, they talked about the creation that God made. And maybe they shared with you the power and the majesty of the God who could create such a thing, and the beauty thereof. They talked with you all the way to the school. When they picked you up in the afternoon and you walked back, you talked again about the God of heaven and about his creation, about his power, about his love. You got into the house to sit down for dinner. You didn't watch TV. They didn't sit you in front of TV for 4 hours. No, sir, no, ma'am. They talked to you more about God and about his goodness, about his love, about his grace, about his mercy. It's bedtime. Going to read you a story. What are you going to read me? I'm going to read you the Bible. Let's talk some more about God. Every day when you walked outside, looked on your post, the word of God was out there. When you looked around your house, the word of God, it was like frontless between. Do you think for 1 second you'd be influenced by this? That God intended influence. That God understood this. That God designed it to be there can't be argued. Influence is certainly not a bad word. It's clearly intended. And the most influential people in our lives are to be our parents. In fact, it's what most people say. You get a person up behind a microphone giving a speech. Well, I want to thank God, and I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my dad. You listen to a person, any success in their life, they had them. Listen, my dad took me from the, he taught, mama, boy, she was there. I heard Grant Hill one time talking about his parents. Kevin Durant gave a great speech about his mother. But I heard Grant Hill talking about an object lesson of time. He said his parents had bought him a new watch. He said it was so nice. Just, he's so happy with it. You get one of those gifts from your parents, you're so happy. He said he was out one night late with his friends and he missed curfew. Said he came home, talked to his mother. He said his mother took that watch off his wrist and she threw it and broke it. And she said, clearly you have no concern for time. Yeah, I imagine his eyes was as big as yours. But I trust he learned the lesson, so much so that decades later, that's the story he's telling about how he was influenced about time from his mother. That parents are supposed to influence. This idea of giving the world equal time with your children, I don't know. That came from somebody in the world. This idea that you ain't supposed to oversaturate them with the Bible. Now, don't oversaturate them with, give them some other stuff. Did you read Deuteronomy 6? It's still on the screen. You can read again. No, you got time. Did you read God's position on that? God never said, you know what, go mingle with these other nations and just dabble a little. Give them some time with your children and then come back and then teach them why that. That's not what God said. Where did we get the idea? The world should have equal time with my children. I want them to understand everything. Hogwash and foolishness. I want my children to understand God, and then they can know everything else that's wrong in the world because they now know what's right. God said you teach them how casually, how leisurely, how intermittently, how when you get around to it, how if you have time, how after giving them everything else, how diligently. Problem is, who does scripture diligently? Who's got time for that? Man, you might be a radical. You might be one of these people who are one of these fundamentalists. You want to insult a Christian? Call him a Bible believer. No, that's not God's position. Parents are supposed to influence. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:3. This faith, Paul says, was first in your grandmother, then in your mother, and I'm sure it's going to be in you too, Timothy. How's it going to get there? It was first in your grandmother, it was first in your mother, then in you. Husbands and wives are also great influencers. After parents, I suppose there is no single greater influence in anybody's life than their spouse. You know, over time, spouses even start looking alike. Give them long enough to be together, after a while, they just start looking the same. I mean, it's the same person almost. They influence each other so much. Did Adam influence and Eve influence each other? Well, sure, Eve certainly influenced Adam. He ate of the tree. Then there's Ahab and Jezebel. 1 Kings 21:25 says there was no king like Ahab, who committed more sins than Ahab did. And the end of the verse says, and he married Jezebel, which stirred him up in the sin. I mean, they were hand in hand in the sin. This is not one of those situations where you had a good, righteous king and a wicked woman. No, sir. No, this was Bonnie and Clyde. This was you do it and I'll stir the pot, man. We are in this together. Wives and husbands can be that way. Ananias and Sapphira were. They hatched the plan together. Peter gave them both a chance. While it remained, was it not your own? While it was in your power, was it not yours? You could do it what you want. Later, when Sapphira came, they asked her, did you agree? Did you sell it for so much? Yeah, for so much. They were in it together. But of course, husbands and wives can influence each other for good. Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18:26. You can't find that husband and wife team apart in Scripture. Wherever you find one, you find the other. And what do you find them always doing? Some work of the Lord. They're always together, whether it's taking Apollos to the side and teaching him the way more perfectly or supporting and helping Paul in his ministry. They're always together working in the kingdom for the cause of the Lord. Let me ask you this. How about you and your spouse? How are y'all influencing each other? After parents, there's probably no single greater influence than your spouses. Spouses can help each other get to heaven or spur each other on to hell. Spouses can encourage and strengthen and lift up, or they can discourage, weaken, and bring down. The influence is real. It's palpable. It affects your attitudes. You wake up in the morning and your spouse is in a bad mood. How long before it affects you? In fact, the words that probably come out of your mouth as soon as you see something wrong is, "What's the matter?" You might as well say, "What's the matter with us? What's the matter with us now?" "Well, we don't feel good. We had a rough night. We had a dream about something you did," as it turns out. It affects your attitude. It affects your feelings. It affects your emotions. It impacts it. It influences it. It can actually influence your character. There are spouses who go around angry, and pretty soon, if they're not careful, they can influence their spouse to become a more angry person. Because one of the things that spouses want to do is they want to side with each other. They want to partner with each other. They want to be together. Well, if one of them has a bad attitude, it'll slide off. Next thing you know, two people got a bad attitude. You see the way I see him. Before, this person didn't used to be like that. They didn't used to go around suspicious, but they've been with this person so long. They've been influenced, and now they both see everything that's wrong. In some houses, it's a tug of war for who's going to win the battle of influence. There's a person who just sees everything wrong, and this one tries to find the good in everything. And when they are alone in private, sometimes they're fighting over who's going to influence. I had one husband tell me, real talk, true story. He told me, I told my wife, I said, "Clearly, you see everything that's wrong with the world, and you want to get people, and you want to do this to me. I don't want to do that. That's not who I am." Now, one of us, listen, I can't pull you over here, but I need you to know I'm not coming over there. So if you want to do people like that, get them. I'm not in. I don't want to remember what they did. I don't want to keep a tally. I don't want to watch them. I don't want to get them back. I don't want to go around. You do, though. And since you do, go ahead. But I ain't with you. What does he say? Somebody's influencing. And you have this. Listen, your spouses, they'll influence you. Your character, your fear, your faith. One of the passages that said repeatedly in the Bible regarding kings is whether or not a king walked in the ways of his father. And overwhelmingly, most of them do. Impacted in such a way, they just follow and follow, follow. Family, parents, husbands, wives, they follow, they affect, they influence. Influence goes beyond parents and spouses, though. Peers influence. "In all things that I have said unto thee, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth." That's not for parents, and that's not for spouses necessarily. That's for anybody in Israel. You don't let it be heard out of your mouth. It'll impact people. It'll influence people. Later, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Other people in our lives who create influence are siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, teachers, preachers, elders, other Christians. Some other dynamics relating or impacting influence. It's interesting that it doesn't have to be family. Older people influence younger people. They do. Because younger people look up to older people. Younger people expect that older people know, and younger people learn by watching older people. Older people need to be aware of that. That people are watching you. That younger people are watching you because you influence them. The rich influence the poor. In fact, there's a line in The Devil Wears Prada where she's getting out of a limousine and she steps out and she says, "They all want to be us. They all want to be us. They all want to be behind the ropes. They all want to be out here where we are. They all want it. And so rich people influence poor people, often making poor people poorer by trying to be like rich people. Educated, they influence the less educated. I didn't say uneducated because probably nobody is actually uneducated. There are people less educated than others, though. And so those people use that education to influence others. For instance, when a doctor says it, well, it carries weight. When a scientist says it, it carries weight. Man got a white lab coat on with a pocket protector. Surely he knows what he's talking. Clearly that guy knows. Who else? He doesn't know. Nobody knows. Professionals influence laymen. Famous influence the average. We see them on TV. They have an influence on. It takes you a long time to realize they get paid to wear nearly everything they wear. It takes you a while to realize that. But it looks good on them. Next thing you know, you're buying it. Now, it's doing real well for them. They get it for free and get paid to wear, and you go buy it. Well, it influences us. Next thing you know, we're walking billboard to influence other people to do the same thing. It works. Elected officials influence citizens. News reporters influence viewers. We tune in, we get influence. Words and deeds, marketers, researchers, people influence other people. The scripture is absolutely clear on the matter and, again, understands it. Scripture concerning influence and its ability, the scripture will say, don't marry into these other nations. God told Israel that. And then you hear his reasoning. They will take you away from me. They'll cause you to worship other gods. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 10, the Bible says Solomon loved many strange wives, foreign wives. And then it says, and they took away his heart. The heart of Solomon turned away from Jehovah. And the Bible says further in that section of scripture, God spoke to Solomon twice concerning that matter. The influence of the nations and those women so powerful turned Solomon's heart away from God. Proverbs 4:23, with regards to the power of influence, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. Great passage in Deuteronomy 17. Really interesting passage. You should read it when you get time. The king of Israel, if you were going to be a king in Israel, here's what you were supposed to do according to those passages. You were supposed to go to the priest and you were supposed to copy the law. Your own self. And you were to keep that law that you copied from Moses with you and read it. And you were to govern God's people by your personal copy of the law. It was supposed to influence how you governed and how you lived. The king was to have his own copy of God's word. God says, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Be not conformed to this world. What is God saying? Influence. 3 points about influence. Number one, influence is powerful. If you were to read the passages, I might say, we don't have time to read through them all of them. I appreciate the time you've given me so far, and you're still looking forward, so thank you. So if you would jot the passages down, I'll just tell you quickly what they're about, and you can read them. But here is the point. Influence is powerful. That first passage says effectively this. Influence is powerful enough to turn us into criminals. You might not think yourself a criminal as you sit here this morning. You might not think yourself capable of even committing a crime as you sit here this morning. But the proverb writer says in Proverbs 1 verses 7 through 19, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, let us lay in wait, let us lurk, let us shed blood, don't go with them. Why? Because you might not think you're a criminal as you sit here. But if you go running with sinners and they get involved in criminal activity, they could so influence you that you find yourself right in the middle of doing what they're doing. There are a lot of young people around this world who will spend their years incarcerated learning that lesson because they went with a group of other people and those other people got into something and then they found themselves into that something. And when their parents and their loved ones come to the courthouse and when they began to write those letters and when they began to make their case before the judge, one of the things they'll say is something like this: my child is not like that. My child doesn't do that. And they might very well be right. But they did this time because they were influenced. Influence is powerful enough to make us criminals. But on the other hand, it's powerful enough to make us wise. Proverbs 13:20 says this: he who walks with wise men will be wise. The force of that scripture is this: if you align yourself with the right people, what they are will rub off on you. You can go from not knowing to knowing. You can go from not doing to accomplishing. You can go from not dreaming to achieving. How can you do that? Influence. You get around the right people doing the right stuff. That stuff, if you stay with them, you will do it too. It's so powerful it can make a foolish man wise. It can make a good man into a criminal. That's the power of influence. But then thirdly, it's powerful enough to corrupt good. Evil communications corrupt good morals. Corrupts them. You start with evil, you end, and you will be corrupted. This is one of the reasons. Listen, again, I appreciate your patience. Stay with me here. This is one of the reasons when we talk about television, we are not... I almost hate having to say what we're not saying, but there's some folks out there who just demand it, so I'll go through it. Listen, it takes up your time, but I'll tell you, because there's some of y'all out there thinks like this. The church is just against television. It's just against technology. Anything that's good, the church is against. They ain't doing nothing. See, that's foolishness. That's just foolishness. I'm talking about when you sit in front of a box and it sends you bad messages, to think that doesn't impact you is a level of foolishness that you and I need to quit. Evil communications corrupts. Man, listen to explicit lyrics long enough, the man will be talking explicitly. Boy, sit in front of a computer and watch enough stuff about women in time, he'll be acting that out. Now, you're going to sit there and keep playing like it doesn't matter. No, we should do this, that, and the other. Like what's going into our minds is having no effect. And the Bible is screaming like a Las Vegas neon sign: evil communications corrupt. And folks keep saying, well, no. See, it ain't happening like that. A mob of people was influenced to kill an innocent man named Jesus because the leaders delivered him for envy. Their envy influenced the mob to say, crucify him. And you're going to sit there and keep telling Hitler, nope. No influence on anybody. David Koresh, nope, no influence. No, like that. Charles Manson, Jim Jones, the list goes on and on and on. And the Bible is shown to be right and right and right. Influence is powerful. But influence is personal. We'll talk about this more at length tonight. I'll quickly go through this again. You've been more than kind and fair with your time, trying to make good use of it. But it's personal. When you read the Bible, so many, we don't talk about this nation and that, like it's way out there. Talk about God, he's way over there. No, it's you and it's me. It's personal. It's people at the end of the day. Mordecai exerted influence over Esther. Why she became the king? Mordecai did that. He exerted influence. She became queen. Mordecai's influence. Moses in Israel. Joshua in Israel. The judges in Israel. Naomi to Ruth. No influence? Yes, she influenced her daughter-in-law. She did that. David had an influence in Israel. The little maid had an influence on Naaman. Paul had influence and he understood it. Every person in this room this morning has the power of influence. It works both ways. On the one hand, we are influenced, and on the other hand, we influence people. Romans 14:7, the Bible says, for none of us lives unto himself and no man dies unto himself. We influence other people. And here's the power in that. Because it's powerful and personal, you can use yours for good or ill. Nobody can say, though, I don't have any influence. People like to say stuff like that. Well, Eric, if you tell them. Well, we get the elders to tell them. We get this person to talk. No, you talk to them. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. Some people think, well, I ain't going to do nothing in that way. Nobody be able to blame me. Let me tell you something. Doing nothing is influential. When you do nothing, you influence people one way or the other. Fear is influential. When you are afraid and cowering, you're influencing people. When you're full of faith and let's go, you're influencing people. When you have hope, you influence people. When you are hopeless, you influence people. There's no way to escape it. There's no getting around it. Everybody and nearly everything influences. Let me ask you this. Have you considered yours lately? You cannot go through this life simply believing, well, I just keep my stuff in here and I just stay in my lane and that way I won't rock the boat. I don't want to be out there. Friends, you're already influencing. That approach is influential. We'll close with this. Thankfully, influence is not permanent. Here's all I mean by that. Sometimes because of our home and upbringing, we get influenced to think certain things. We get influenced to fail in particular areas. We get shot down a particular path, and we learn later that path is not the best for us. And I'm not saying you go home and denounce your parents and tell them where they failed. Every parent would deal with children who come back thinking you could have done a better job. But give those children time. They'll become parents and they'll get it back. Because their children will sure enough grow up and think, no, you could have done a better job. That's not the problem. Here is the good news. You don't have to keep going the wrong way. The whole point of a self-examination is to stop and stand and investigate in light of God's word and see the path you should be going. Three generations in Ezekiel chapter 18. A father, a son, and a grandfather or a grandson. And that father, verse number 5-9, the Bible says he walked uprightly, but he had a son. And that son did everything opposite of his father. He was evil. But then he had a son. And that son was the exact opposite of his father. He walked uprightly just like his grandfather had. What's the point? Wherever you're going in whatever direction it is right now, you don't have to stay on it. If you've been influenced to do the wrong thing, if you've been influenced to go the wrong way, if you've been influenced and you're in a path and on a behavior and down a thing that's contrary to God, not right with God, others have changed and you can too. We'll say it this evening, so let me introduce the thought now. The God of heaven desires to be the most influential person in your life. And what God will do is influence you and I to change. And when he influenced people in the New Testament, that's exactly what they did. Saul of Tarsus was a murderer of Christians. He met Jesus, became a preacher of the gospel. The Corinthians were everything but right. Extortioners, murderers, idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals. They met Jesus and they changed. What they became was not what they once were. Friends, that can happen to you. It can happen this very morning. You sit here this morning, hopefully with God on your heart, Jesus before you as a perfect example of how to be influenced. And God, through Jesus, is asking, will you let us into your heart this morning? Will you let God into your heart this morning and begin to influence you to follow him? Through Jesus, he's asking, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent to turn your mind, change your heart, the direction of your life. A good definition of repentance I heard on one occasion was this. It's godly sorrow, which leads to a changed heart and then to reformation of life. You're sorry that you sinned against God. You change your heart and your mind, and then you change the direction of your life. That's repentance. Confess the name of Jesus and you'll be immersed in water. Let God save you. We'll talk about it some more in detail this evening. Friends, you should know you're going to influence people. Every one of us, every day, we are powerfully influencing others. Would you examine your influence? Would you think about whether or not you're being influenced for good, and then whether or not you're influencing others? Or whether you're being corrupted by the influence of the world, and then that indeed is coming out of you and now corrupting others. But one way or the other, friends, it's happening. Please stop. Please stand in the mirror of God's word, and please examine your influence. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.